The Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU and WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. Glad to have you along this morning. Preston Lauterbach previously wrote The Chitlin Circuit and The Road to Rock and Roll, which was named the best book of the year by the Wall Street Journal, Boston Globe, and NPR. His newest is called Beale Street Dynasty, Sex, Song, and the Struggle for the Soul of Memphis. It's a fascinating look at the man who eventually became the first black millionaire the South had ever seen. Preston, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thanks, Mark. Great to be with you.
I knew a lot about Beale Street, but not before I read this book, or not nearly as much after I read your book, Beale Street Dynasty. I mentioned your previous book about the Chitlin Circuit. Did this book grow out of your research for that book?
Yes, absolutely. Of course, the Chitlin Circuit is the story of the rise of rock and roll in black America and all of the nightclubs that were the laboratory of rock and roll in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And there is no more prominent musical locale on the Chitlin Circuit than Beale Street, the main street of black America, located in Memphis, Tennessee.
I was interested that you go all the way back to the beginning. We'll actually start the book in 1866 when there was a race riot in Memphis, and that was something I had not heard about before, and I didn't realize that that played such a crucial role in the reconstruction of that city.
Yes, absolutely, and it's fascinating in the news in this age from Ferguson to Baltimore that, you know, we're still dealing with these types of matters. But it was almost 150 years ago that Memphis erupted in race riot, a year after the conclusion of the Civil War. It started off as a struggle between, really a gun battle between some African-American Union soldiers that were stationed at the fort in the city and the white police force, white city police force, many of whom were Confederate veterans. So here you have like a miniature civil war being played out again a year after the surrender at Appomattox on the streets of Memphis. But what was provoked from that point, from that initial gun battle between the black soldiers and the white city police officers, was really more of a massacre than a riot. It was a one-sided affair in which the white police and rioters took 46 lives, burned upwards of 90 properties, according to the official tally. And this was a community, a black community in a southern city that was just growing from its beginnings after slavery. And in a matter of about 3 days, the rioters burned it to the ground. And so after that, the black community of Memphis became drawn to Beale Street. And from there, Beale Street became legend.
I love how you point out in the book that General Nathaniel Bedford Forrest, Confederate general brought in to keep the peace after the riots, who went on to be a big mover and shaker in the Ku Klux Klan, that he established the market at Beale and Hernando that he was going for a different goal, but that establishing that market, it actually became the hub of Negro life in Memphis after that
That's
riot.
That's right. Oh, it was a complete twist. But I mean, this story is full of them. It really kept me on my toes because everything that I thought I knew about Southern history during this time period was reversed in this story. But in terms of Forrest, yeah, I mean, here he is this icon of the Ku Klux Klan. Perpetrator of a massacre during the Civil War of black soldiers, and yet while on the Memphis City Council, established the city market on Beale Street. Well, this became the place where African Americans hung out. Memphis and Beale Street, of course, are most noted for music, and that Beale Street Market House is where all of the black musicians would get together and jam. So it became very much like Congo Square is down in New Orleans. It became the black social spot in the city, and that was really where the local music scene sprouted from. And yes, I don't think General Forrest had in mind to support the black music scene when he put the market house on Beale, but that's exactly the way that it worked out.
I'm speaking with Preston Lauterbach, the author of Beale Street Dynasty, Sex, Song, and the Struggle for the Soul of Memphis. You can learn more at our website, wvxu.org. I was equally intrigued, Preston, when reading in the early part of the book, where you talk about how Memphis and especially the Beale Street district, was very diverse, much more diverse than I would expect. I thought it was, you know, a very separate neighborhood, but you point out that the people mixed so quickly on and around the street, no one had time to make rules about who could go where or what they could do. And Beale Street itself kind of became a microcosm.
Oh, it did. It really became I think one of the great centers for freedom in the South. It's where a lot of the immigrants who came to the U.S. during that time set up their businesses. And so you had Italians, you had Irish people, you had Germans, you had Jewish, you had African-American, you had a great mixture of color and nationality on that street that was such an essential part of its collective personality back in the late 1800s.
Now, let's talk about Robert Church, because he is the central figure in your book, Beale Street Dynasty. He is the man who went on to become the first black millionaire the South had ever seen. But he started right there after the riots by buying a plot on, Second Street rather than on Beale Street. But from there, grew his real estate holdings and became a mover and shaker. Introduce us to Bob Church.
Yes, what a fascinating leading man. Talking about how Nathan Bedford Forrest would not have knowingly supported African-American music. Well, here's another very complex character, Robert Church. He was born in slavery. His father owned his mother. But from the evidence that I could see, the relationship with the father was about as good as one could really have hoped for, I think, in those circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Church was very much a community leader in Black Memphis on Beale Street. He was one of the prime developers, but was also connected, thanks to his father, to all of the white city fathers, city leaders, business people, property owners. And so he was a man of, I think, unique dual position in that community, having connections to the white elite and the regular black folks. Now, the way that he began building that fortune with that property you mentioned on 2nd Street was that was a brothel. And what was so daring, not just as if opening a brothel isn't a risky enough enterprise, Church was a black man, and the employees of the brothels that he owned were white women. So this was a complex and like I said, very surprising, twisted state of affairs, according to everything I thought I knew about Southern history and race during this time. But he was so clever with the way that he went about this business that he got away with it. It wasn't even like it had to be conducted privately. He, first of all, prostitution and gambling and saloons, cocaine, these things that are either illegal or shunned today, were legal, wide open in Memphis after the Civil War, all the way up to about 1940. So the underworld was just the world. There was not much in the way of separation between the two. Churches, business partners, colleagues, customers were all these leading white businessmen. So morally, he wasn't going to get into trouble with the leaders, because they were all in cahoots with him in one way or another. So he was, as I said, a man who was able to straddle these boundaries, being an African-American and a white man.
Amazing what was accomplished there. I mean, while Robert Church didn't do everything, you introduce us to a number of characters in Memphis that really helped build the city back after the Civil War. But mainly through relying on, how did you call it, the divisions of dividing the wages of sin, because it was all based...
That's the key dynamic.
Because Beale Street was basically, from one end to the other, brothel after brothel after brothel after, or the streets going across it were brothel after brothel, right?
Yeah.
And the
That's
reason
exactly
they
the way it was, so.
Yeah, they put them there because the white women wouldn't be, if the proper, polite white women wouldn't be offended by seeing these brothels, and their husbands could go there into the black neighborhoods, and they could practice, if you may, discretion. No one would see what they were doing. So it was quite a scene.
That's exactly the way that it worked. That's exactly the setup. So you had Beale Street, which was primarily the African-American, though with some international flavor mixed in, African-American thoroughfare. One street parallel was where Robert Church really based the red light district. And this little neighborhood was pretty well sequestered from polite white women, so their husbands could romp through there as they pleased, and boy, they did. But I think what was such a tremendous dynamic in defining Memphis, and I think underwriting the things that made Memphis famous and important to American culture at large, was that dividing the wages of sin dynamic, and Robert Church was the master. So he made his money in those brothels on Gayoso Street, but then on Beale Street financed things like the first black-owned bank, a beautiful amusement park, which was just the jewel of the city, you know, at a time when racial segregation was in fact legal and black people were barred from normal recreation facilities in the city. Church said, fine, we'll build something better than what the white people have, and he did, to the point to where in 1902, when President Theodore Roosevelt visited Memphis, he didn't speak at the White Auditorium or the City Hall or any of the white facilities. He spoke at Church's Park on Beale Street.
Well, Robert Church plays a central role, but you talk about so many other characters that moved through Memphis in after the Civil War in the first portion of the 20th century. I mean, you of course mentioned W.C. Handy, always associated with Beale Street and Memphis. Ida B. Wells, the great activist that was there too. But who was your favorite character as you were researching and putting together Beale Street Dynasty? Because they all had many different types of influence. Did any stick out to you, Preston?
I loved them all. They were all so fascinating to me. I just found them all so challenging and so intriguing. I loved the way Ida B. Wells, young African-American woman, got to become this crusader for civil rights as a journalist on Beale Street, and the way that she influenced Robert Church, this powerful black boss of the underworld, to become more of a real leader. I think that some of her prodding was behind Church's more charitable functions. Another great character was this man named Pappy Hatton.
Oh, yes.
Who was this colorful judge who presided over the police court and was really the boss of Memphis throughout the 1880s. He's the one who came up with the whole dividing the wages of sin phrase. He laid that down when he had some ladies of the night in court and said, look, you've got to keep yourselves hidden so that nobody suspects that you are who you are, but since you broke these rules, you must divide the wages of sin with the city. And he fined them, and he developed this dynamic of licensing, taxing the underworld businesses in order to build the main part of the city, you know, for more polite society. And so I found all these newspaper articles from over the years that detailed how all the fees taken from the dark end businesses then financed, you know, building bridges, adding on additions to city buildings, improving city parks, schools. So I guess it was sort of like what many states claim that their lottery programs are doing today, you know, buy a lottery ticket and help fund the schools.
Right.
It was like that, though in this case it was both ends of the transaction were well documented. The prostitutes riding their horses naked through the streets and, you know, the benefit of that sort of activity happening in the city. So Judge Hatton was very colorful in his administration of these policies.
Well, not only the money for those improvements, but also sometimes the labor on the chain gangs,
yes.
Pappy Hatton would recruit, shall we say. Well, the most
exactly.
disappointing part of your book, I have to say, Preston, when I read Beale Street Dynasty and learning all this great history about what's been happening along Beale Street and in Memphis, is the fact that very little of what Robert Church established and accomplished in Memphis can be seen today. And I found that kind of disappointing when I got to the end of the book. And that's, it seems
well,
like quite a shame.
It is, and that's attributable to a great power struggle that took place between Robert Church Jr., son of the first millionaire, and Boss Crump, the notorious political machine boss of Memphis, who ran the city from the early 20th century right on up through the 1950s. But the two of them were initially partners in, I mean, it's an extraordinary set of circumstances, if you think about it. In the South, during what was certainly the darkest time for or a dark time, another dark time for race relations in the South, but you had a black political leader, Mr. Church, and a white boss, Mr. Crump, who should have been opposed on every level, who instead partnered together. When they did that, it was better for everyone. Ultimately, power being what it is, something that has struggled over, Mr. Church lost that battle, and so the city took control of the Church family properties, burned down the beautiful mansion that Church Sr. had built during the Victorian era, changed the name of Church's amusement park, which I mentioned earlier, tore down the structures there. So through that power struggle and its culmination, much of the Church legacy was erased from the city. You can still go to Beale Street. That was made famous and, you know, also profitable by Church and his colleagues, and the city has at least maintained that much. But yeah, much of the legacy of Church is gone.
Preston Lauterbach, his book is Beale Street Dynasty, Sex, Song, and the Struggle for the Soul of Memphis. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org, and learn more about Preston and his other work. And Preston, I just want to say, great stories, great history. Thank you for the stories, and I can't wait to get back to Beale Street to just check out Memphis all over again. At Memphis with new eyes after reading your book. Thanks for being on the Book Club at 91.7.
You'll be seeing ghosts down there next time.
Indeed I will. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time, Mark. I've enjoyed this.